Tattvam Narendra Jagatam Atatashtisham Cha. Dehendriyashu Dishanatma Bir Avritanam. Yat Shetruvitta Pataya Hridi Vishvagavi. Pratyakcha Kashti Bhagavam Tamavehi Smosmi. Translation. Shanat Kumar advised the king, "Therefore, my king Prithu, try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is living within everyone's heart, along with the individual soul in each and every body, either moving or not moving. The individual souls are fully covered by the gross material body and subtle body made of life air and intelligence." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse it is specifically advised that instead of wasting time in the human form of life, endeavoring for economic development and sense gratification, one should try to cultivate spiritual values. By understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is existing with the individual soul within everyone's heart. The individual soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his Paramatma feature are both sitting within the body, which is covered by gross and subtle elements. To understand this is to attain actual spiritual culture. There are two ways of advancing in spiritual culture: by the method of the impersonalist philosophers and by devotional service. The impersonalist comes to the conclusion that he and the Supreme Spirit are one, whereas devotees or personalists realize the absolute truth by understanding that because the absolute truth is the predominator and we living entities are predominated, our duty is to serve him. The Vedic injunctions say, "Tat mamashmi," you are the same, and soham, I am the same. The impersonalist conception of these mantras is that the Supreme Lord, or Absolute Truth, and the living entity are one. But from the devotee's point of view, these mantras assert that both the Supreme Lord and ourselves are of the same spiritual quality. Tat mamashmi, I am Atma Brahma. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are spirit. Understanding this is self-realization. The human form of life is meant for understanding the Supreme Lord and oneself by cultivation of knowledge. One should not waste valuable human life engaged in economic development and sense gratification. In this verse, the word Kshetravit is also important. This word is explained in Bhagavad Gita 13.2. Idam sariram kontaya kshetram ityabhi Dhyat te. This body is called Kshetra, the field of activities, and the proprietors of the body, the individual soul and the super soul, sitting within the body are both called Kshetravit. But there's a difference between the two kinds of Kshetravit. One Kshetravit, or knower of the body, namely the Paramatma, the super soul, is directing the individual soul. When we rightly take direction of the super soul, our life becomes successful. He is directing from within and from without. From within, he is directing as Chaita Guru, or the spiritual master sitting within the heart. Indirectly, he is also helping the living entity by manifesting himself as the spiritual master outside. In both ways, the Lord is giving direction to the living entity so that he may finish up his material activities and come back home, back to Godhead. The presence of the Supreme Soul and the individual soul within the body can be perceived by anyone by the fact that as long as the individual soul and the super soul are both living within the body is always shining and fresh. But as soon as the super soul and the individual soul give up possession of the gross body, it immediately decomposes. One who is spiritually advanced can thus understand the real difference between a dead body and a living body. In conclusion, one should not waste his time by so-called economic development and sense gratification, but should cultivate spiritual knowledge to understand the super soul and the individual soul and their relationship. In this way, by advancement of knowledge, one can achieve liberation and the ultimate goal of life. It is said that if one takes to the path of liberation, even rejecting his so-called duties in the material world, he is not a loser at all. But a person who does not take to the path of liberation, yet carefully executes economic development and sense gratification, loses everything. Narada's statement before Vyasadeva is appropriate in this connection. If a person out of sentiment or for some reason or other takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and in due course of time does not succeed in coming to the ultimate goal of life or falls down due to lack of experience, there is no loss. But for a person who does not take devotional service, he executes his material duties very nicely, there is no gain. So in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear some of the glories of the Paramatma, the Lord, the Supreme Lord, who is situated within the hearts of all living entities. Actually, without the grace of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, this or any other feature of the Lord, we would not be able to understand. One time in the very early days of the movement, 26th Second Avenue, Srila Prabhupada called one of his budding artists in, Mother Jadarani, and he said, could you please make a painting of the super soul within the heart? So being very eager to please her spiritual master, she ran to her room and assembled her easel and her paints and her brushes and sat down, and she told us later she put the brush to the canvas and she went, what does the super soul look like? Because in those days devotees didn't have, like nowadays we have so many paintings, so many prints, so many posters. Just go on the internet and you want to see something of Krishna, you go to Google and you go to images and you click images. It's practically unlimited. But those were the pioneer days. So she was sitting there and she'd never heard what the super soul, the Paramatma in the heart looks like. How is she going to paint? So very humbly she went back to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, you've asked me to paint the Lord in the heart, the super soul, but I don't know what he looks like. So Prabhupada said, oh, to realize the Paramatma, the super soul within the heart, will take millions of lifetimes. So she became a little despondent because she wanted to please Prabhupada very much. He said the yogis, they meditate on this soul millions and millions, and then one day, there you see. So a little pause there, he said. But Prabhupada said, but I will explain to you what he looks like. So he described the Lord standing on the lotus of the heart with forearms, Narayan feature, with his club and his wheel and his disc and flower like this. So then she went. That's a famous painting. It appeared, first of all, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It was a tinged red painting in the Bhagavatam. So only by the mercy of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu are these things easily revealed to us. So in those days, Prabhupada referred to the Paramatma as super soul. Actually, if you go through Vedic literature, you won't find the word super soul. Param Atma. Atma means soul, and Param means supreme. As Prabhupada very clearly distinguishes the difference between the individual soul, the Jivatma, and the Paramatma, the supreme soul. He is the master, we are the servant, he is very great, we are very small. Our duty is to render service to the Param Atma. But Prabhupada was preaching in the pioneer days in New York City, and people had little concept of these terms and how. So instead of Paramatma, Prabhupada called it the super soul. Just like in those days we had words like super consciousness. So Prabhupada just took the liberty, instead of Paramatma, to help his audience understand, all the beatniks. They weren't hippies, they were all beatniks in those early days. Super soul, yes, I didn't know. Like Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati. He called the super soul, or the Paramatma, overseer. You won't find the word overseer in Vedic literature, but time, place, and circumstance, the acharyas can adjust so that their audience can understand. This is their expertise. They must present the traditional wisdom according to time, place, and circumstance without compromising. So super soul. Actually, Prabhupada often adjusted words to help Westerners understand these very deep spiritual concepts. Even the phrase Krishna consciousness is not found in the Vedas. You type in the Sanskrit, whatever, there's a Sanskrit way to do that, on the internet, in Sanskrit letters, Krishna consciousness, it won't come up. It's a phrase that Prabhupada actually took from Sri Rupa Goswami. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavati mati. Kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate. Tatra loyam api mulyam ekalam. Janmakoti sukitair na labhyate. Rupa Goswami describes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada translated as a nectar devotion. He says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activities and hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, and that is intense greed to obtain it. If it, Krishna consciousness, is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Very important. This is where Prabhupada coined that phrase, Krishna consciousness. Pure devotional service, Prabhupada says, in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity, hundreds of thousands. So these are the acharyas. But in Shastra, the Lord in the heart is called Param Atma, and he's celebrated as one of the three aspects of the absolute truth. That verse is there on the tongue of every ISKCON shlokawala. Vadanti tat tat bhavidas tatvam ajinam advayam brahmameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sapte. These are some of the brahmacharis. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth, the source of everything within and without our experience, learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So there's the Lord, there's this effulgence, the impersonal Brahman, and then there's the Paramatma. Now in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, there's Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, Ishwara Hanama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam, Krishna's there. There's the Brahman effulgence upon which everything is resting, but there's no super soul. This feature, a very interesting, very mysterious feature of the Lord, Paramatma doesn't exist in the spiritual world. He only exists in the material world. There's no need for him there because everyone is fully Krishna conscious in the spiritual world. They embody the maxim, always remember Krishna and never forget him. Every resident of Vaikuntha, every resident of the topmost planet in Vaikuntha, Goloka, always remember Krishna and never forget him. Just like Srila Prabhupada said to us one time in Detroit, there was never a time I ever forgot the lotus feet of Ran and Krishna. How can you always remember someone? Two ways. If you hate them or love them. Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna out of hatred. But Rupa Goswami said that type of devotional service we're not. That type of remembrance, that type of Krishna consciousness, awareness, we're not interested in that because it's out of hatred. Annadiyasika sunyam jnana karma narvitam anukalina krishanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Rupa Goswami describes pure devotional service as loving the Lord without any material desires or desires for liberation, mystic powers, and loving Krishna as he desires to be loved. Just like you're a person, you have certain likes and dislikes, so your husband or your wife, they know that, and they love you accordingly. So Krishna is the supreme person. So from the spiritual master, we learn what pleases Krishna and what displeases him. So in the spiritual world, everyone is fully Krishna conscious. There's no need for a super soul in the heart. When we fall from grace, when we commit, as the Catholics say, the cardinal sin, as we discussed the other day, of turning our face from the Lord, Bahirmukha, Krishna accompanies us to the material world and through our sojourn to the material energy in the form of the Paramatma. In the eighth canto, Gitendra glorifies the super soul by saying, Shram Shina Sarvatanu Brin. This feature of Krishna, the super soul of all living entities, he's embodied in the material nature. Embodied in the sense that he resides in the heart of every living entity. And what's he doing there? Krishna reveals his specific function as the super soul accompanying the living entities through his endless sojourn. Brahmanda Bhamati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. From time immemorial, we've been traveling from universe to universe, from species of life to species of life, from body to body, and the Lord's accompanying us. Why? What is he doing? What's his function as the super soul, the Lord? What is his position there? Why is he there? He says in Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi shani vishto matash kirgina pohanam cha. Arjuna, I am seated in everyone's heart. And from me comes knowledge, comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. This is the function of the super soul. Knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Now, scholars who study Gita without the direction of a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada or a Vaishnava commentary, or even devotees sometimes think that these functions of the super soul, knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, are in direct relationship to awakening the soul from his ignorance. We're all sleeping, jivdago. We're all sleeping in a deep slumber. The different states of unconsciousness. You can take a snap, as Prabhupada called a nap. He called a nap a snap. I will take a snap. Then there's sleeping. Then there's deep sleep that even an alarm clock can't wake you up. Then there's comatose, where perhaps due to some accident or some disease maturing in your body, you go into a comatose. And Prabhupada said, in comatose, the devatas are deciding what is your next destination. They're looking at your life's activities and deciding if you should be allowed to come back and live longer, or you should immediately go to the abode of Yamaraj. That's a coma. Devatas are having ishtagoshti. What do we do with this then? Yeah. It's comatose. But there's a state of sleeping, because of ignorance, where the soul becomes covered. Although the soul is walking, he's like walking comatose. It's like zombie. Zombie means the living dead. So in one sense, from a transcendental point of view, we're all like the living dead. We're walking around in complete ignorance of who we are, what is the goal of life, how to attain it. As Prabhupada says in the purport, wasting our time in economic development, sense gratification, and all these secondary activities, which to a certain degree are necessary, but they're not the panamgati, the goal of life. We become mesmerized, diverted. So, some scholars, and even some devotees, they think that the Lord's giving knowledge, the Lord's giving remembrance, the Lord's giving forgetfulness, is in relationship to awakening the soul from this deep comatose slumber. In other words, the Lord helps the conditioned soul by giving him knowledge, transcendental knowledge. He helps the soul by giving him remembrance of who he is and forgetfulness of his past conditioning. But interestingly enough, if you study Bhagavad Gita very carefully, which means to study Srila Prabhupada's purports, otherwise we have no access to the real understanding of Bhagavad Gita, this is not the meaning of the Lord supplying knowledge, remember, and forgetfulness. Rather, Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Supersoul gives remembrance of one's past desires. He gives knowledge of how to fulfill those material desires, and he gives forgetfulness of oneself. He's facilitating our rebelliousness, so to speak, so that we become frustrated and in real sincerity pray out, pray to him to come back to the spiritual world. That's what the super soul is doing. When you die and you take your next birth, actually it's just another chapter in the book of life. Like one chapter, those who are writers, they know one chapter is the central theme. It's not you start a new chapter, a new book, no. It's chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and there's a theme going through it's an evolution of the theme of the book, whatever it may be. Life is like that. As we go through our different bodies in this world, we carry with us the impressions from the previous life. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyachati anta kalevaram. Whatever mentality one has at death, that will determine next birth. So who you are now is what you contemplated, more or less, when you died in your last birth. You can't, you know, complain. I don't like my nose, I don't like my ears, my eyes, my heart. This is, you get what you want. You get what you deserve, the law of karma. And to facilitate that continuation of your desires, the super souls there to remember. How you can remember? How many can remember their past lives? Some few people. There's a few scientific experiments like that. Or other knowledge how to fulfill them. We are always dependent on the Lord. As we discussed the other day, we're dependent upon Krishna, we're dependent upon his servant Mayadevi. We're never independent, we're always dependent. And he causes us to forget. Oh, you'd like to see what it's like not to be my servant? Okay, let me assist you. Like sometimes Prabhupada gave the analogy that the little girl is watching mommy cook on the fire. Like the other day we went to Radhakund with a group of yoga students from America. And one family invited us in to see their home and they fed us prasadam. That's the tradition here in India, especially in Braj. You can do madhukari and be fully satisfied. Just, you beg door to door. They like to cook the roti like that. So I was watching how the mother was cooking the rotis on the fire and she was using the cow dung. And all the yoga students are going from America, oh, yuck. I say, no, no. Cow patties are pure. What? It's stool. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that later. They couldn't understand. The cow is so wonderful. Her urine, her stool, everything about her is auspicious. It can be used nicely by human society. So they're cooking with a cow patty. But the little daughter was there. She was only like 3, and she wanted to come and help mommy cook. And mother kept pushing away. So it reminded me of Prabhupada's analogy that mother is cooking, and the child wants to cook with the mommy. So mommy says, okay, takes her outside and pours a little water in the mud and teaches her how to make mud pies. So the child's thinking, I'm cooking like mommy. Like that. They're not actually cooking like mommy, but just, okay, you want to cook, then you can try. Like that. So Prabhupada said, we want to be like Krishna. So Krishna said, okay, go outside. Go to the material world. Dukalayam ashashvatam. A temporary place full of suffering, and you just try to imitate me. You'll find you won't be happy imitating me. This is such a crazy idea that the Mayavadis have, that they want to become God. We don't want to become sugar, we want to taste sugar. We want to taste the bliss of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that is our constitutional position. We're born to serve, just like the Air Force in England, I forget what it's called. Their motto is to serve, to fly. We're created to serve. We take pleasure in service. We just have so many bad experiences of service in this. We always get exploited and stepped on and then taken advantage of. But Krishna's not like that. Guru and Krishna are not like that. It's natural to be the servant. Like Burijan Prabhu has a book about Srila Prabhupada, my glorious master. It's an honor to be the servant of a glorious master. To be the servant of the Supreme Personality. That we experience in Krishna consciousness. How nice it is to render service to the Lord. So, but the super souls fulfilling these desires, because argumam ad baculum. We're just so obstinate, there's no other way that we can learn. Like in diplomacy, like Chanakya Pandit goes a lot into logic and diplomacy, how to live in this world so in such a way that you have time to chant Hare Krishna, basically. That's what Niti Shastra is about. Simple living with high thinking. So he describes that if you have an enemy, then you give that enemy a gift to pacify him. Or you give that person a position. You make him minister. He wants to be king, you make him minister. And if he's not satisfied with that, then argue him, then boom, you come down with the stick, the danda. After trying everything else to convince someone to surrender, and they don't, you give them gifts, you lavish them with words and praise, and you give them a position. If they still are obstinate, they want to be the king, then boom, knock them on the head. I mean, sometimes kings, Kshatriyas, they're employ diplomacy like that. So this whole experience in the material world is like argumam ad baculum. It's the fourth measure of diplomacy. All right, you can't learn, then you learn the hard way. But learn you will. It's like the child doesn't want to put her hand into the child wants to touch the candle because it's little, it's cute, little fire. The child's inexperienced, 2-3 years old. Mommy says, don't put your hand in the fire. The terrible twos. Mothers know what I'm talking about. The terrible twos. Don't put, and you say don't, and then they do. And you say do, and they don't. So then child puts his hand, and never again she puts her hand in fire. Of course, candle doesn't burn so bad. Ow! Maybe a little blister. This is the school of hard knocks. And we're smiling and laughing, but again, we're laughing at ourselves because we are in this school of hard knocks. Fortunately, Prabhupada came and delivered us. And now we can learn by hearing. A saintly person, he learns by hearing. He avoids so much trouble just by hearing from the spiritual master with faith. Someone says, don't steal, because if you steal, you'll be punished. So someone hears, but he goes out and steals. He gets punished. When he steals again, he gets punished. Someone else hears, don't steal, you'll get punished. He goes out and steals and gets punished, and then, oh, I should have listened to my teacher. First class student, he hears, don't steal, you'll be punished. Yes, sir. This is the type of nishtha, faith, we have to have in Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. We'll save ourselves so much trouble. So it appears that the super soul, to the untrained person, without adequate knowledge and without this commentary, as Srila Prabhupada gives it in the to that famous verse about, it appears the super soul is a little callous. Hey, you're rewarding my past activity, facilitating my desires in this world, causing me to forget my siddha deha. A little callous. Actually, the gopis, they refer, they hint of this nature of the super soul in a famous verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that after Krishna called the gopis to Vamsivat, in the dead of night, he played his flute and all the gopis came. Then Krishna joked with them. But you're young girls. It's not proper for a young girl to be out in the middle of the night without escort, her parents. I think we should all go home. Wait a minute, we gave up everything for you, Krishna. Now we have no reputation. We've given up everything for Krishna. I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. He shall always remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace. He's always my worshipable Lord. This is the glory of the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. And Krishna's joking. Yes, but you should go home now. So then the gopis, they say, Na kalu gopika nandano bhavan. Akila dehinam antar atmadurik. Vikana saritito bishva guptaye. Shaka ude yivan satpatam kule. They kind of speak back to the Lord. You're not actually the son of the gopi Yashoda, O friend, but rather you're the indwelling witness in the hearts of all embodied souls. Because he's being rough with them, so they compare Krishna to the indwelling super soul within the heart. Because Lord Brahma prayed for you to come and protect the universe, you have now appeared in the Satvata dynasty. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the gopis are implying that, quote, since you descended to protect the entire universe, how can you now neglect your own devotees? They're saying. So they use the comparison, because super souls can be seen like that, a little harsh. But of course, there's a reason in the Lord's doing so. That by experiencing that life of separation from the Lord and we become frustrated. There's different reasons that people come to Krishna consciousness. The Lord describes four types of persons who come to the Lord. And one of them is coming out of distress. We come looking for some facility, for money, for knowledge, or distress. But out of the four, most people come to the Lord out of distress. I remember that in the 1950s, or was it the 60s, when the Russians sent the first Sputnik, a Sputnik. You don't need to translate that. Sputnik's the Russian word. It's like our satellite. Around, they sent it with a manned Sputnik. Then there was the communication between the astronaut and Khrushchev. Khrushchev told the Americans, "We will bury you." So there was this arms race going on. "We will bury you." I got so scared when my mommy told me that. "We will bury you." So the satellite's going around like this. So Khrushchev, he says to the cosmonaut, "Komrad, do you see God out there?" And he looks out the window. "No, sir, no God." So Khrushchev, this is on national radio in Russia. "So you see, my people? There's no God. There's only Marx and Lenin." And he says, "We will follow." And then the Sputnik ran into technical trouble. It caught fire. It had started plummeting back to the Earth. And the last words of the cosmonaut were, "My dear God, please help me." So like that. This is, as we said the other day, the whole purpose of creation, to bring us to this point of. So then, in that frustration, who do you turn to? The natural inclination in the heart to turn to God. Because by nature, we're all God's jiva supoya krishnara nityadas. We're all servants of God, so it's natural in that moment just to call out to God, just naturally. Just like my mother was a scientist, she was Phi Beta Kappa from Stanford University. My father said to me, "What happened to you? What's going to happen to you, boy? You don't fit in anywhere." And she was an atheist. But to make a long story short, some years ago she came down with terminal cancer. She had to give up working and everything. She couldn't feed herself. She couldn't relieve herself. She couldn't. It was horrible. So they put her on the rocking chair out on the porch. And she used to rock there back and forth as the months went by, and she slowly began to deteriorate. And one day she told my brother, she said, "All of my scientific theory doesn't make sense to me anymore. I just cannot accept that when I die, I'm dead forever. You know your brother, the Hare Krishna, he was sending me all those books through the years. There's that one book he was always talking about, the Bhagavad Gita. My brother told me, go get the Bhagavad Gita. So we've been sitting for like 25 years in the garage, and he found it under a pile of newspapers with grease and dust and oil spots, and he brought it to my mother on the porch, and he said he used to watch her because she's a very intelligent woman. She read the book through 7 times. And then she said, your brother, the Hare Krishna, see if he has any recorded lectures of his talks, because I always heard he's always talking about God. My brother ordered, for what it's worth, some lecture tapes like that. And my mother, you know, he got her a set of tape recorder and headphones. So she would, I saw a picture of her, like, with the headphones and the tape recorder and the Bhagavad Gita, and she was, like, cross-referencing like this, back and forth. So, one morning I was, early morning, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was in London, and my mother called me. I had no idea she was sick. She wanted to keep it from me. And she said, son, I said, Mom, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Have you been drinking again? Because she used to drink. Son, take me to Vrindavan. What? Take me to Vrindavan. She said it perfectly. Come on, Mom, stop joking. Every time we talk, it ends up into an argument. There's no God, there's God. Son, take me to Vrindavan. Okay, Mom. I'm going to call you back. Get sober. I'll call you back when I wake up in the morning. So I call back at 6 o'clock in the morning. My brother answered the phone. Let me speak to Mom. Silence. And my brother. Okay, look, Peter, let me speak to Mom. Silence. Let me speak to Mom. She just died. What? I didn't know she was even sick. She just died. He said, yes, she had cancer. We've been taking care of her. She didn't want to like upset you. I said, oh. He said, she just died a few minutes ago. I said, did she say anything at the end? And my brother, who didn't at that time know much about Krishna consciousness, he said, yes, she said something like to me, to the brother, don't lament for me. I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul. I'm going to Krishna. And he said, she died with the name of your God on her lips. So I flew home for the funeral, but actually my mother wanted her body cremated. Before she wanted it buried, and then she changed her mind when she learned more about Vedic culture. She wanted it cremated and her ashes thrown in some clean place. So I went to the funeral home to pay for the cremation and the scattering of the ashes, and the man behind the counter, he said, oh my God, he said, I'm so sorry, sir. We cremated your mother, but we forgot to throw the ashes in the sea. You don't have to pay for it. It's like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. We'll do it tomorrow. I said, give me the ashes. And with the money, I flew to India, took a taxi, put on my gumsha, went to the Jamuna River, and poured my mother's ashes. I said, Mom, this was your final wish, to come to Vrindavan, as you said. So now, here you are. So what brought my mother to Krishna consciousness was distress. It just didn't make any sense anymore, the atheistic philosophy, the scientific propaganda, although she was a propagator of that philosophy. She wrote articles about science and sometimes just spoke so badly about Krishna. But she came to the point of distress. And then she took shelter in Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada convinced her through his purports. So, like that, the two birds sitting in the tree, she got sick of eating the fruits of material existence, she turned for help, and the super soul in her heart guided her. Tesham eva nukampartam aham agyana jam tama nashayam atma bhavo shto jnana dipena basvata. Out of compassion for them, Krishna says, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Of course, this verse speaks about the super soul's relationship with the Vaishnava, with the devotee. But what is a devotee? One time Prabhupada said, anyone who believes that God is a person is a Vaishnava, which includes our Christian brothers, sisters, our Muslim brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers. It doesn't include the Buddhists, but or the Mayavadis. But anyone who believes that God is a person, we offer our respects. So many differences, but the central theme is the same, so we should be respectful. So somehow my mother came to the point of believing God was a person by the help of Srila Prabhupada. And Lord gave some direction, and on her lips at the moment of death was Krishna's name. So anyone who calls out to God, he's a devotee. Of course, it's not always so simple, because for so long we've been here practicing a life of forgetfulness. So it takes time to kind of wake up, just like you wake up in the morning. Do you just wake up? Boom, you're there. There you go. Oh, you yawn, you know, and you set the alarm for another 5 minutes, and whatever. And then, you know, if you get older, it's harder to get out of bed, and then take a shower, and then chant your Gayatri mantra, then you're locked in. So, becoming fully Krishna conscious, adoro shraddha tata sadhu sangha ta bhajana kriya narta naviti siya, it takes some time. So, it may not be that we're getting good direction now from, we've turned to Krishna, we're getting good direction. It's not that we always follow that direction. That's a neophyte devotee. A neophyte devotee, we tend to accept the instructions of our authorities when it suits our purposes, and we ignore those instructions when it doesn't suit our purpose. This is another definition of a neophyte devotee. we are committing the same folly that caused us to come here. But Lord is giving good instruction. Once we turn to Him, He's giving good instruction. But due to the false ego, we have a hard time hearing. Just like when you turn a radio on and you're trying to get, you're like in India or Malaysia or something, you're trying to get the BBC or something, and then there's this static. You can't hear. So there's a static in our heart called the false ego. And because of that false ego, we can't hear the clear, concise, good instructions coming from the super soul. We always have that choice to hear or not to hear. Matchita sarvadurgani mat prasada tarishyasi atachetvam ahankaram nashroshyasi vinakyasi, Krishna says. He refers to this tendency not to hear good instruction. He says to Arjuna, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through the false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So, because of that tendency not to take the good instructions from the Lord within, he manifests externally as the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul. He's not God, but he's representative. External manifestation. And actually, it's the Lord's first mercy upon us. He sends his devotees to help us. Sometimes a neophyte devotee, does Krishna even know I exist? Bhakti Nina, or you know, Bhakti Peter, you know. Does the Lord even know the multitude of living entities and even the devotees? Does he know that I exist? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says yes. Just like a mother cow can recognize her calf in a herd of hundreds of thousands of calves. There's so many cows, right? But the mother knows what's my calf. So out of the multitude of human beings, the Lord knows who is his devotee because he's situated in the heart of every living entity and he knows our temperament, our mentality, he knows our desires. So when he sees that we're struggling, we want to, but we're having, so then, Tvamna sundarshito datva dushtanam nishtitirshitam kalin satvam haram pumsham karnadharai varanam. The sages of Naimisharanya, when Sutta Goswami, they're like trying to figure out what type of yoga are we going to do for Kali Yuga. It's just begun. The Kali Yuga has just begun. Krishna's left. Kali Yuga's beginning. They're seeing the anomalies starting. And they all get together. You know, we're sadhus. We're meant to help the general people. Like, what kind of yoga? And they're doing these yogas and nothing's working. Suddenly, Sutta Goswami, walking down the forest path, and comes and sits down with them. And explains the Yuga Dharma. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangupanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Senkatan Prayar Ishuntihi Shumedad. He begins, well, of course, that verse is from another portion, but the principle of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Ram. So they accept him as their teacher, and they say that Twamnashita. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So they have met him by what? By datra. Tvam, your goodness, nam to us. Sundarshita, this meeting, this encounter, it's been arranged by Datta. It's been arranged by Providence, which is a way of saying divine providence, by God. It's said that just as the light of dawn precedes the rising of the globe of the sun, so the mercy of a devotee precedes the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati said, our search should not be for God. Our search should be for one who can take us to God. One boy said to me the other day, he said, but God's everywhere. Why do I need a devotee to help me? I said, because electricity is everywhere, but if you want to connect with electricity, you've got to find a socket. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. He said, but why do I need someone to come between me and God? I said, well, God's very far away. But the devotee spiritual master is like the telescope. It's very, the moon is very far away, but you take the telescope and you look through there's different lenses there, which bring the moon almost in your hand. You look through the telescope, it's like you're right there. He said, you Hare Krishnas have an answer for everything. But I said, am I right or wrong? No, you're right. The idea is that we can ignore the super soul. We can be naughty. But difficult to ignore the spiritual master. Prabhupada said, friendly talks stop when one takes initiation from a bona fide. You get to know your guru, your guru gets to know you. But it's a formal relationship, as is student and teacher, disciple and guru. There's formality there. That's why every time we see our guru, we bow down to him. We offer him words of praise. We address him as Guru Maharaj or Gurudev, like, so that we always keep the proper position so that we can hear it from him with faith. And he will not allow you to disobey. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj was more chastising us than he was blessing us or glorifying us. He was cutting, cut. Our Guru Maharaj is always chastising us. He won't allow you to ignore. Once you surrender, He's yours and you are his. And the relationship is you have to get you out of this material world as fast as possible. So he'll chastise. One time I probably was giving class in Hyderabad and I was sitting there and he was speaking in Hindi. And it was hot. And I fell asleep. I mean, we traveled on the train down there and didn't understand Hindi and I was tired. And all of a sudden I heard, I was sleeping, but I heard, "Why are you sleeping in my class?" And I woke up and Prabhupada was looking at me. "I asked you, why are you sleeping in my class?" And I should have just surrendered and I'm so sorry, but I said, "Well, Prabhupada, I don't speak Hindi." He said, "It does not matter." I was shaking. "It does not matter. This is Sabda Brahma. This is transcendental sound vibration. It will act." And I can say from that day on, I've never slept in a class. So we need the chastisement more than we need the glory. We need that. Because we're attached. And you can't ignore. Just like when the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Das, he was the Lord, he was given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the society of Vaishnavas to accompany Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his travels, Krishna Das. Nice Pukka Brahman Vaishnava. But, as we know, he became attracted to some women from the gypsy camp. And he went there. And Mahaprabhu, as his guru, went there to rescue him. He wouldn't allow him to disobey. And as he grabbed him and came back, then the gypsies were throwing knives and swords and lances at him, and Mahaprabhu just went, and all the swords and lances went back in the other direction. So, but then he was not interested in taking him anymore. He was punishing him. He ostracizing him for some time so that he could appreciate the good fortune he had and not make the same mistake again. So sometimes we're dealt with like this. This is the duty of the Spirit, to revive our Krishna consciousness. So gradually we learn from the external manifestation whom we cannot disobey, the proper steps for going back home, back to Godhead. So Super Soul plays that part of directing us, but for the devotee, he causes us to remember who we really are. He helps give us knowledge of Krishna. He fulfills our desires to serve the Lord. This is why the Lord is sometimes described as the best friend of the living entities. And by the gradual assistance of the external manifestation, the super soul, we make progress and the Lord rewards us accordingly. All of them as they surrender unto me, we reward them, I reward them accordingly. This is the bright future ahead of us. The materialists say, "Trust no future however bright." Well, yeah, we agree. In material life, at the death everything is taken away. But on this path of Krishna consciousness, there's no loss or diminution. Whatever advancement you make in this life, it's guaranteed next life you continue on. So our future is very bright if we stick to the path. Right? And as we surrender more, Krishna will. Even Prabhupada said, although it's proportionate, our surrender, the Lord's mercy. One time Prabhupada said, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 1,000 steps towards you. That's his kindness. So let us continue to follow in the footsteps of our acharyas and reach that perfection, which one Alvar, one of the great devotees in South India, he once said, when you come to the point of fully surrendering to the Lord, when you lay down, he said, the Lord sits next to you. When you sit, the Lord stands next to you. When you stand, the Lord dances next to you. And when you dance, the Lord embraces you in ecstasy. All this is there waiting for us in Krishna consciousness. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Premanande.